If you were here last week, you know that this morning I had directed you, Adam directed you to the same chapter of the Bible that we were in last week, Luke chapter 15, and we're actually in the same parable or story that we were in last week, story of the prodigal son. Father had two sons. The younger comes to his dad and said, "Dad, I'd like my part of the inheritance." Back in that day, the firstborn got a double portion, so there were two sons. So this younger son would get a third of his father's wealth. So the father gives it to him. And the Bible says that this young man goes into a far country. And last week I preached a sermon, Into a Far Country. And I said that we go into a far country when we get the eye disease. I want this, I want that. I said the far country is always worse than where you are now. Far country for this young man was far worse than he had it at home. Some people that go into the far country can't come back. But I said that we can come back. It's our choice because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. So the younger son goes into the far country. He wastes his living or his inheritance, the Bible says, in riotous living. A famine came. He was poor. He didn't have any money, had no way to feed himself. And so he takes a job feeding swine, feeding pigs. And he was so hungry, the Bible says, that he looked at the husks that he was feeding the swine and said, I could eat this. I have nothing else to eat. I could eat this. The Bible says, as we read a moment ago, that he came to himself. And he says, at home, my father's servants have it better than I got it now. I'm going to go back home and I'm going to tell my dad, I no longer deserve to be your son. Just make me one of your servants. Let me be one of your servants. So he gets out of the pigsty, gets out of the pig pen, heads toward home. And as we read a moment ago, when he's still a long way off, far off, the Bible says, his father sees him. His father runs to him, has compassion on him, falls on his neck, hugs him, and kissed him. And our text verse this morning is verse 22, where the Bible says, "But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him." This morning I preach a sermon entitled, "Put on him the robe." Put on him the robe. I want you to notice five things this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, that this young man was dirty. He was filthy. He stank. He had just come out of the hog pen. Hogs, if you don't know, are a dirty, filthy animal. They love to get in the mud, roll and root around, and they are the happiest. If hogs have feelings, I don't know for sure if they do, but they are the happiest when they are caked with mud, in the mud, just rooting around. You ladies think about that next time you get a mud pack. Oh, that didn't go over very good. Forget I said that. Hogs stink. My wife's uncle raised hogs. We would go and I never forget the first time we visited them. He invited me early in the morning to go out and help feed the pigs. I don't know how to say this nice. They stink. I never wanted to eat ham after that for a long time. They are a stinky animal. And the nature of a hog is to be dirty, is to be filthy, is to stink. I mean, you can take a hog out of the hog pen and you can give it a bath and you can spray it with perfume and you can put a ribbon on its nose, and the moment you turn its back, you know where it's going? Back to the mud. Back to the sty. Back to the hog pen. They are by nature a dirty, filthy animal, and you cannot stay in the hog pen very long before you start smelling like a hog. That's what happened to this young man. He was feeding hogs. He was in the middle of the sty, in the middle of the pen. He began to smell like a pig. He began to be caked with the mud that the pigs were caked with. And then he said, "I'm going to go home." Now, back then, they didn't have Greyhounds. Back then, they didn't have Deltas. Back then, they didn't even have Chevys. When you moved from one place to another, you walked. And most of the roads were not paved. I think the Romans paved some of them, but most of them were dirt. And when you walked, you stirred up dust. So get the picture. Here's a young man that had just come out of the hog pen. He was caked with the mud of the hog pen. Now he's making this journey back home, and every step he takes, he stirs up dust to add to the layers of mud that he has on his body. He stinks, he's dirty, he's filthy. Now he was poor, he did not have any money. There was no hotel or inn that he could go into and pay the price to take a bath. You say, well, preacher, maybe he stopped by a river, or maybe he stopped by the creek to bathe off before he went home. I don't know if he did or not. I know this, he probably didn't have any clean clothes to put on. If he took a bath, he put the dirty clothes that he had on back on. And so he was dirty, he was filthy, he stunk. Now, I'll point out to you this morning that it doesn't matter how much time we spend in the shower or the tub. It doesn't matter what we splash or spray on ourselves to make ourselves smell better. Our sins make us just like this young man in the sight of God. In the sight of God, all of us are dirty, filthy, stinking sinners. In the book of Isaiah, the Bible talks of our sins being red like scarlet. It talks about them being filthy. It talks about them being dirty. Later on in the book of Isaiah, it talks about all our righteousnesses, all the good things that we can say. Hey, God, look at these good things that I've done. In God's sight, they're all like filthy rags. They're all like rags that lepers had wrapped around them to soak up the pus of their sores, the blood of their sores that had been cast in the dirt and caked with mud. And when we present to God our righteousnesses, he says, in my sight, they all look like filthy rags. They all look like dirty rags. So this morning, don't strut your goodness. Don't strut your righteousness. Don't say like the Pharaoh, I'm glad I'm not like that guy. I'm glad I'm better than that guy, because in God's sight, because of our sin, we are all just like this prodigal. In his sight, we are all dirty, we are all filthy, we are all stinky. Point number two, the Father loved him in spite of his filth. In verse 20, but when he was yet a great way off, his Father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's a wonderful verse. It's a rich verse. It implies that the Father was looking for him. That's the only way that when he was a great way off, his Father could see him. He was on the lookout for him. He was waiting for this boy to come home. It tells us that all we have to do to come back to God is turn around. All we have to do is quit our rebellion against God and turn back to him, and God will do the rest. He'll be like this father. He'll come running to us, and what he will do fast, just like the father did in this story. He ran to him. He hugged him. He kissed him. It didn't matter what he smelled like. It didn't matter that he hadn't had a bath for weeks. It didn't matter that the dust was caked on his body 2 or 3 inches. It didn't matter that he smelled like a pig. He loved him. He ran toward him. He hugged him. He kissed him. Let's go downtown this morning. Downtown Flint. Let's find a homeless man. A man that hasn't bathed in months. Let's find one that maybe had too much to drink last night and got sick. And so this morning, he smells like alcohol, and he smells like vomit, and his clothes are caked with mud. Let's go hug him. Let's go kiss him. Say, no way, preacher. I wouldn't even want to shake his hand. And yet, if we went to that same place, and if it was one of our kids that we hadn't seen for months and months, who we had been praying for night after night, if we found one of our children in that condition, we would do the same thing that this father did. We would run to them. It wouldn't matter how they smelled. Wouldn't matter how dirty they are. It wouldn't matter that they hadn't had a bath for weeks. We would do the same thing that this dad did. We would throw our arms around him. We would hug him. We would kiss him. We would fall on his neck. That's what God does to us. We were made. We were created to be part of His family. We were made to be one of His children. We were made to fellowship with Him. And we got the eye disease. We decided that we wanted to be God. We decided that we knew what was best for us rather than God. And so we turned away from God. We went into that far country. We rebelled against God. And we need this morning, if you're in that condition, you need to do like this young man. You need to come to yourself. You need to come to your senses. In the far country, there's nothing, nothing, nothing that has any lasting value. It's only when we turn around and turn back toward God that He comes running to us. And it doesn't matter what our sin is. It doesn't matter how dirty and stinky that sin makes us. As Lydia sang a moment ago, it's His love. God loves you. He wants you to be one of your children. He knows you've been in the world. He knows you've been into sin. But it doesn't matter. He loves you anyway. And when you turn around and head back toward Him, He'll come running to you and throw His arms around you, hug you, and kiss you. Doesn't matter what you smell like. Doesn't matter how dirty you are. Doesn't matter what kind of sin you're in. You have a God that loves you and wants to welcome you into His family. And if you turn toward Him, He'll do that. And you know what? He doesn't make us clean up. The Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for dirty sinners. He died for filthy sinners. Number three, the Father didn't ask Him to clean up before He loved him. He loved him in spite of his filth. When He saw the boy, He didn't say, hey, go into the house and take a bath. He didn't say, go down to the river and take a bar of soap and some shampoo and wash your body four or five times and wash your hair three or four times. Get all the stink out of it. He didn't say, hey, go get your right guard and spray it on, or go get this other stuff that people spray all over themselves. I'm glad that we can come to God just like we are. I'm glad God doesn't say, hey, you can't come to me until you clean up your life. I'm glad God doesn't say, you can't come to me until you get better. I'm glad God doesn't say, you need to turn over a leaf. Got new leaf. What God says, whosoever will may come. The dirtiest, the filthiest, the foulest, the stinkiest. You can come just like you are. Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Jesus says, hey, the good people, or the well people don't need a doctor. The sick people need a doctor. I didn't come to call the righteous to the repentance. I came to call the sinners to repentance. I came for the lost. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad we don't have to save ourselves. I'm glad it's not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm glad the Father loves us in spite of our sin, and I'm glad He doesn't make us clean up before we can come to Him. Point number four. This is the good part. He covered up the boy's filth with a robe. With a robe. But the Father said to His servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. It wasn't an ordinary day-to-day kind of robe. It was the best robe. It was the robe of honor. It was a robe that was assigned to special guests when they came. It was a robe that when this boy put on, you could not see his dirty clothes. You could not see the filth that was caked on his clothes. That boy became as clean as the robe was. And God the Father does the same thing for us. He covers up the dirt and filth of our sin with the robe of righteousness, with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We sing the song often, when He shall come with a trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. When I come back to Jesus Christ, when I ask Him to save me, God takes the righteousness of His Son and dresses me in that righteousness. That's why that story says it's the best robe. Not an ordinary robe, not a day-to-day robe, but the best robe. And the best robe that we can put on is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And when God looks at us, He does not see our filthy, dirty sin. We're all still sinners. When we get saved, it doesn't change the fact that we still disobey God. It doesn't change the fact that we're still sinners. But we're saved sinners. We're redeemed sinners. We're born again sinners. We're sinners dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then number five, the boy submitted to his father. When dad said to the servants, put on the robe, the boy didn't fight him. The boy didn't say, no, dad, I can't take the robe. I don't want the robe. He let the servants put that robe on him. This morning, that's what God wants to do to you. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, He made you to be part of the family. He made you to be one of His children. He made you to fellowship with. God didn't turn away from you. You turned away from Him. You got the eye disease. You wanted to be God. You decided you knew more about what it was to live in a right and holy way than God did. And so you decided what's right, what's wrong, and you live by your own code of conduct. You went into a far country. And that far country, again, has nothing of any lasting value. It may appear pleasurable for a season. That's what the Bible says. Sin for a season is pleasurable. But when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. And that's what sin will do. That's what sin will do. Sin separates you from God. It kills you spiritually. And there's nothing you can do to take care of it except to come to Jesus Christ. When you come to Him, God will take the best robe, the righteousness of His Son, and wrap you in that robe. And when He looks at you, He doesn't see the sin anymore. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. Will you let God put that robe on you this morning? You need to know that you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to know there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. You need to know that God loved you and paid the price for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And you need to believe on Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. This morning, if you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, you've never believed on His name, I invite you to do it. I'll say this as tactfully and as nice as I know how. Doesn't matter what you look like. If you don't have Jesus, you're a filthy, dirty sinner. You're separated from the Father that wants you to be part of your family, part of His family, one of His children. He's looking for you to turn back. He's looking for you to come to yourself. He's looking for you to just turn around. After you turn around and start toward Him, He'll do the rest. He'll come running towards you. He'll take that robe of righteousness and cover up every one of your sins. And you can be one of His children. Would you do that this morning? The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Get out of the hog pen this morning. Come home. Come home. Come to Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truth of it. Thank You for what it offers to each person. That robe of righteousness that covers our every sin, that makes us right with You. I pray, Father, if there's just one here this morning that's never received Christ as their Savior, that right now, Holy Spirit, You would convict them, that You, as a still small voice in their heart and in their mind, convict them that they are a sinner. Convict them that there is a penalty for that sin. Convict them that Jesus paid the price and He's their only hope for getting right with You. And I pray, Father, again, if there's just one person that just in a moment when we have an invitation, that they would come. They'd walk down the aisle and we could take the Bible, show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Maybe there's somebody here that needs to get baptized this morning. I pray you'd help them come, take that first step of obedience. Just bless this time of invitation. Father, use it as you see fit. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.